number 34, he took me out of the pit and from the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock, establishing my way. Number 34. 34 in the chorus book. And let's all stand together as we sing this song and praise the Lord tonight. So much to praise God for. He brought us through the first part of the week. Number 34 in the chorus book. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. At the bottom, he took me out of the pit. He took me out of the pit and from the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock, establishing my way. He put a song in my mouth, my God to glorify. And he'll take me someday to his home on high. I'm on the rock, hallelujah. First time you sung that one, raise your hand. First time, okay. If you've come on the green bus anytime, we've probably heard it because it's on the CD that the kids sing on that. So let's sing the second verse.
Just like a wandering sheep, we all have gone astray. Just like a wandering sheep, we've turned to our own way. But in Isaiah we read in chapter 53.
And you're on the rock tonight. Say amen. 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 Let us bow together in prayer. Brother Daniel, would you lead us in prayer tonight? Amen. You may be seated. Just by way of announcements, we have our Teen Talents for Christ and elementary as well are involved in this. So we'll pass these out to the 5th through 12th graders. Who can give us a hand with these? Darnell, do you want to help out? And, all right, there you go. And Paul, there you go. The weather on Saturday, as of tonight, is PM showers. So we're fine as far as the weather goes on Saturday. It's not going to rain in the morning and afternoon. So as of right now. But even if it does rain part of the day, we'll just come inside and play games inside. So come rain or shine. On Saturday, for our Teen Talents for Christ, Elementary Talents for Christ, it's this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring $5 for lunch, and that also helps cover the ribbons. You guys will be earning first, second, third place ribbons of all different, in all different categories. I guarantee if you come, you'll earn at least one ribbon. How many have never earned a ribbon to put on your wall, first, second, or third place ribbon to put on your wall? You don't have one of those yet? Okay, so maybe some of the younger ones. How many have a couple? A few? Okay, ribbons. You have one?
Two.
Two? Okay, so come on out this Saturday so you can earn another ribbon or two or three for your wall. We're having Olympics of many different events. Going to also have some inside competition of giving a Bible story. Those who Would like to teach a Bible story. We'd like to get everyone involved. But if you'd like to help teach one, you want to help teach one? Okay. See Mrs. Gibson tonight so she can give you, I can help give you material too, but see, so we can help you get a game plan for your Bible story. And so, anyone else want to do a Bible lesson on Saturday? Guys can do a Bible lesson. Girls can do Bible lessons. Guys can preach if they want. We have Calvary Baptist in Elkins Park coming. They're bringing about 25. And so they're going to, some of them are going to be preaching. Some of them are going to be doing Bible storytelling as well. So, good time. That'll be part of the day on the inside. For some, instead of a message that I will preach, it'll be a message that they will teach for us. All right, everyone get one of those forms. Okay, have your parents sign that for Saturday. You see there's a little parental agreement on there. See right here? Does anyone see that? So have your mom or your dad sign that, or your aunt or uncle or your guardian, and bring that back on Saturday. Okay, so that way you have your release form, and bring $5 for lunch. Okay, so show that to your parents. That way they see the details, bring it back, and bring $5 for lunch. All right, any questions about that? We have the sign-up list. We'll pass this around. If you want to come, sign up. That way we can plan on you coming. Okay, you girls are all signed up. Okay, and you guys are all signed up. Okay, you want to take it around to everybody who didn't sign up? Good. So if you want to come on Saturday, Dario, sign your name on the list. We'll pick you up Saturday at 9:30 at Penny Point there. Yes.
So, like, it's church things too, right?
Yes.
That'll
be you. You'll be given the Bible story. Yep. Don't worry. It only is like a few minutes, and we'll help you with it.
That's kind of like regionals.
Yeah, like regionals. You know how the kids did? Do you see any of the kids do their lesson yet?
No, because you let me and Matthias go for the walk. We were like listening. I watched the puppet show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's not hard. Azaria will tell you it's not too hard, right? Bible storytelling, it's not that hard, right?
Oh, no, I did remember that when they were standing there.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, no, I never did that one.
You did it. You did it already. Yes, it's easy. We'll get you a story. All right, anyone else want to do it? We can get you a little a story, basically like Jonah and the Whale or something like that. Any of the other teens or kids that want to do Bible storytelling? You want to give it a try, anybody? All right, you can watch this year, but we want you to try it next year. It's a good thing to do. Serve the Lord. You never know what talents. Some of you have speaking talents. Some of you may not have as much, but you can do this for God. All right, let us at this time go to our bulletin. It says, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations." If you need a bulletin, raise your hand, and we'll get one of our ushers or junior ushers to get you one. Mother's Day is this coming Sunday, so bring your mom out to church. Bring her out this Sunday for church, and she will get a flower from the church. So bring her out, and all ladies and girls will get flowers as well to celebrate Mother's Day with your mom. So come on out this Sunday at 9:30 and 10:45. Come on out for that special time. Invite your mom. Then Memorial Day picnic is the end of May. Good news is we do have an intern for 2 weeks this summer. We have a 2-week intern this summer. So end of June, beginning of July. So that's his name is Jonathan Sigma. It's Paul's brother-in-law or whatever. The one that was praying about it. Him and his wife. Jonathan and Emma is their name. So we have a 2-week intern. Better than no interns, so we're thankful for that. So the week before VBT, and VBT will then be July 1st through the 5th. So we'll all plan on that. It's the only week to fit it into our schedule. So let us, and with the kids' school schedule as well. So let us pray for our intern, Jonathan and Emma, his wife. Okay, Elsie, let her sit by herself.
She's running every
Oh, she's running. No, Valentina, you can't run everywhere, okay? You got to sit down for now, okay? To go to the bathroom. Okay, take her to the bathroom. All right, yeah, that would have solved things if she communicated that, right? All right. Yes, telephones, if we can collect them in the basket at the back there. Let's see. Bryson, can you go get the basket, please, for us? So we can collect it. Yep. Darielle, if you have a phone, you got to put it in the basket. Everyone's okay. Yeah, are you telling? You called me on a phone, so is your mom's phone? Okay. All right. This time, we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings to God. Good News Club is tomorrow for those that are helping. Pray for as we disciple these young souls. Teach them about the Word of God, and also invite them to VBT this summer. Look forward to them coming. At this time, we'll have our ushers to come. All right. Yes. Okay, yes. Remind me after church to get that out of the other room. Yes. Yes. All right, let us bow together in prayer.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for this time, Lord, to give to the ministry. We ask your blessings upon each one who gives, and that your name will be glorified. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Remember the agreement. You're not going to be cutting up, and you're not going to be not paying attention, okay? I'm holding you to that. If you don't live up to your part, you're not coming, okay? So you've got to obey the teachers. Respect. All right, this time let's take some prayer requests and answers to prayer as well. Let us take first answers to prayer. What are you thankful to God for tonight? Blessing to share. Yes, Sarah?
I am thankful that my mom is finally having a meeting with my teacher.
Okay, let's pray for that meeting. Sarah's teacher. All right, anyone else? Blessing to share. Answer to prayer so far this week. Yes, Pastor Logan. Pastor Logan. Yes, so that way, so young people, especially sixth grade and younger, if you have to go to the bathroom, we want to know so at least an adult can go in the hallway, because we got to keep an eye on you. We don't want anybody coming from the outside and trying to steal you, okay? So we want to keep everything safe. So make sure you let us know if you have to leave the classroom for any reason, and please have two go at a time, not just one. So, but do not do it during class. That's why we give you time before church, and then after church to go potty. So don't go in between. All right. Any other answers to prayer? How did Atlantic go? And The other ministries.
So you gotta carry this from Eve from the land. She made this for us.
I'll leave one in the basket so I can take a look at this. So now this lady at Atlantic, it looks like she's this is really nice. So she's a brochure. I asked for a little assistance with a brochure, so here it is, it's English and Spanish. And what a blessing. Always
beautiful.
I'll leave it in the back for you to take a look at it. I'll leave it in the back
row, okay? Alright, that's for the mom's ministry that Mrs. Rice has started, and Sister Eve is helping with that, and other ladies in the church, so pray for the mom's ministry. Alright, how did Atlantic go? Carol?
It went well. We needed to rebuild because the lost several of our people for one reason or another. They've moved away or they've chosen another facility, not because of us, but because of other things that have been happening. So just pray for us that we still have 11 all told today, but nonetheless, just pray that we can get more of the people to come back and join in our praise and worship service.
All right. And let's see, Meadowview went well this afternoon. We had a good full room, about 22, and they were encouraged by the message on John the Baptist saying Jesus must increase, that he is the bridegroom who hath the bride. Jesus is the bridegroom, and we as the church are the bride. Yes, Sahara? Yes. Yes.
The girls thing and Meadowview, what are those things?
Meadowview Nursing Home is a rehab and nursing home facility for those who break a bone and then they have to go for nursing care for 5 weeks and then they come out, that kind of thing. So we have a church service over there for them. And then we do the Good News Club for the school, Northfield Community School here. And then the other thing is Atlantic Adult Day Center. That's for those recovering from physical things over at there as well.
I did not understand. I was like, what is he talking
about? Okay, all right. Good question. All right, any other now prayer requests and answers to prayer. Prayer requests and answer to prayer. Darnell? Okay. Let's pray for the people in the Colorado shooting. That was yesterday, I believe. Pray for those students and their families that are injured. And pray for the a lot of crazy young people out there today that are, I believe, demon-possessed, literally possessed. They open themselves up to the devil. So young people, be careful of the internet. Don't open yourself up to the devil on the internet. There's a lot of bad things on there. A lot of bad things. Yes, Briella. Okay. Praise the Lord for safety for Briella and her mom and dad and the family. Praise the Lord. And they were able to, Times Square did not rent them any screens to put on the jumbotrons and all that because of bias. But they lent their screens out to Planned Parenthood for their commercials, but they would not let them out to focus on the family to put an ultrasound on there. So instead, Focus on the Family brought four large screens and were able to do it on their own screens. So we praise the Lord that the truth still went out, and a lot of moms who are going through a lot of problems or contemplating things, that they got to see a baby in the third trimester. And sure enough, that's a real baby in there. And it's not a fetus, it's not a blob of tissues or cells. It is a real baby inside the womb, and they got to see that on four different big screens all along Times Square. So those who don't believe it's real, they say that over 50% of moms, when they see that, they say, "Whoa, I'm not going to have an abortion," after they see the baby in their tummy. So it's amazing what the ultrasound technology can do to help a mom have compassion for the baby. Yes. Okay, all right. Okay. Amen, amen. Pray for Kimmy then, right? Yes. That's your aunt?
I'm going to get her to come.
Good, that would be great. Let's pray for Kimmy. All right, anyone else? Yes, Pastor Logan? Virginia. And so pray for, as all these states are making this bill and passing it, to no abortion when the doctor can hear a heartbeat. Pray that this will have a profound effect on the other percentage of Americans, that they realize this is terrible, this is inhumane, it's barbaric, it's putting us back in the Stone Ages, literally, or not even the Stone Ages, putting us into terrible ways to kill babies. So let us pray for abortion to be overturned here in America. All right, any other prayer requests? Okay, let us break up into our prayer groups then. I think what worked well last week to do what we did, so we'll have Mr. Rivera and Jonathan, if you can come and pray. Mr. Rivera and Jonathan, if you guys can come and pray with the ones up front here. Bryson and Jose and Paul, if you can come up here, and then Mr. Hodge with Miss Pat and Darnell, Dariel, and Keith, and then Mrs. Gibson with these girls up here, up front here, and then Mrs. Rice with those girls there, and Pastor Logan with Sahara and Azaria, so you guys, and Melina, yes. Okay, so Mr. Danny, you're up with these guys. Guys, why don't you move to the back with Mr. Rivera and Jonathan, Bryson, Jose, and Paul to the back. There you go. Yes. What is it? Cool.
He's like, yes, I'm on a tree.
I'm in the right spot. What is it? Where'd he go?
He just went and we'll kill him.
I don't know. Tissue, you want a tissue? Alright, girls. Okay. Hello? 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 All right. Okay. Okay. All right, Mark chapter 12 tonight. Mark chapter 12, as we look into the Word of God. And there's so much to learn and apply to our lives that we all need in at school, at work, at play, at wherever we are in our communities. Mark 12, and starting in verse 12, Mark 12 and verse 12, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your Word tonight. We pray you speak to us through your Word. We think of those who are not feeling well tonight. You put your healing hands upon them. We think especially of Brother Roy Gibson, that you just put your healing hands upon him. It was not a good day, a good week this week so far. We pray you just heal him and bring him out again with us even on Sunday. And we pray for the Teen Talents for Christ on Saturday, that you bless that time with the young people, that they would be encouraged as they learn from your Word as well as play and make new friends. We pray that you would encourage them this Saturday. Be with our sister church that's coming, Calvary Baptist, and help them to have a safe trip here and back, and bless Pastor McMenamin as his baby is due today and tomorrow. We pray you just help Molly with her delivery, and we pray you just help this baby to come out healthy and strong. And we pray you to bless and guide our night tonight in your Word. Fill me with thy Spirit. Fill each one of us with your Spirit, that we may desire to be hearers of your Word and doers also. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 12, verse 12, it says, "And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way." Okay, are we missing some teens? Yeah, I think so too. Let's see. Okay, is everything good in here? Okay. Yeah, I know Savon and Keith. Savon and Keith, I don't see them. All right, Mark 12, verse 12. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. And they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they said unto him, saying to him, "Master, we know that thou art true, and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" Okay, so here we have an interesting question put by the Herodians and the Pharisees. Now, sometimes, you know, I didn't think too much of it when I read it, but then when I looked up in the commentary, sure enough, these two groups are adamantly opposed to each other. Isn't it interesting how the two enemies of each other will come together if Christ is the common enemy? The Pharisees were very nationalistic. They were Jewish leaders, and they did not like Roman rule. And so they wanted to rid Israel of Roman rule. So they would have gladly gotten rid of the Roman rules. But then the Herodians, they were the opposite. We're in Mark chapter 12 and verse 13. Mark 12, 13. But the Herodians were the opposite. Who were they of? From the name. Herodians. Of who? Herod. Okay, so they were followers of Herod. Okay, which was the tetrarch that was in Judea. He was the Roman ruler in Judea. So here we have the enemies of Christ, or enemies one with another, the Pharisees who hated the Herodians who hated the Pharisees. Now they're coming together because they hate Christ more. Isn't that interesting? So the world sometimes does a lot of strange and crazy things as they try to trick Christians into dumbing down their convictions, or they try to trick us into saying, "Oh, you don't need to abide by the Scriptures." They try to disarm us and say, you know, don't live by the Scriptures, and all these things. So let us not think it strange if the world comes together against Christ, because they did it to him when he was in their midst as well. So here the world uses flattery, verse 14. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Okay, here they are. Did they really believe all that they said? No, they didn't really. They wanted the people to hear it, and they wanted the people to think that they believed all those things. But they, in fact, did not. The Pharisees, they believed you could get to heaven through what? Good works. Pharisees were doing this and doing that, and they would tie the mint and anise and cumin, their spice cabinet, but they would not leave the weightier matters, such as loving their neighbor, they would not do that. Instead, they would put burdens on people of religion instead of coming to Christ. And so we see here that they did not really believe what they said. We know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teaches the way of God and truth. But even the enemies of Christ have to tell him the truth. You know, they can't come to Jesus and tell him that he's a liar, because he's not. They can't come to him and say some falsehood about him, because it just doesn't hold water. And even the world sees that it doesn't hold water to make accusations against Christ, because he never did anything wrong. Okay, so here, the world is trying to catch us. So number one, we have to be on guard for the world to lower our standards. The world is trying to lower Christian standards. What are some standards that the world is trying to lower public Christian figures? Okay, what are some of the ways that they're going after public Christian figures? Keith? Okay? Yeah, like trying to get Christians to drink? Okay? Drinking, drugs, okay? At your high school, is there a lot of that? Oh boy. What, drinking or drugs? Oh boy. Oh, for overdosing? Or for drugs, getting caught? Heroin? Oh boy. And that's in our high schools. So the world is trying to push this stuff on Christians. Okay, oh, this is normal. Oh, everyone's doing it. And then when they get caught, then they go to jail. So then the world has double standards. So we should not listen to the world. We should listen to God and his words, and we will not get caught in a double standard. Okay, how else is the world trying to lower Christians' standards? Okay? Trying to tempt Christians to dress the way of the world, or tempt Christians to, oh, you should go with that pretty lady, you know, even though she's not dressed modestly. Well, guess what? That's a temptation from the devil, and that will only lead to sorrow, heartache, and adultery. And that will destroy Christians' lives. Their marriage will be destroyed. Their reputation will be destroyed. The world tries to do that to Christians. What else? How else is the world trying to lower Christian standards? Yes. The world's music. They say, oh, you have to listen to this because it's what everyone's listening to. And what do the lyrics say on those ones that everyone's listening to? Keith? So one guy with all these girls on his side. That's what every guy should attain to. I mean, that's what they're saying anyway. Yeah. So impurity. That it ruins the guy, ruins the girls. It makes them get used to a life of indecency and immorality. And how can you raise a family when you don't even have a marriage partner? Okay, and so it destroys the family. So don't listen to the world, because the world's standards are terrible. How else does the world try to lower the Christian standards? Let's have some participation from the sound booth up there. How else does the world try to lower Christian standards? Okay. Yes. Yeah, now he's actually trying to campaign with his quote-unquote husband. It's not his husband. That's just a guy that's living with him. What's that? That's because the world, the devil has been trying to get the U.S. accustomed to this kind of thing for a long time. He started way back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and he's continually pushing this agenda of getting people used to homosexuals and then homosexual marriage, which is not really marriage at all. It's marriage is between a man and a woman. Homosexual union is not a marriage. It's an abomination, God says. Yes. Okay. Money is the root of all evil. Yes. So money is the love of money is the root of all evil. So if we love money more than if it's a god to us or an idol, then it becomes sin. If making money is all you care about, then that's sin. But it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. So money is a tool. It has to be used properly. So we take the tithes and offerings here that's given in the offering plate to pay the bills, to pay the lights, the electric, to pay the preacher's salary, to pay for the parsonage, to pay for the church. So all that is tools to use for the gospel ministry, and so we can outreach as well. But some churches, they get the pastor wants a Learjet, you know. So if Pastor Logan gets, if he starts raising funds, you know, for a Learjet, you know, so he can travel around, and you know, that's where it gets crazy. But some pastors get this big head because they have a big following and they think they need a Learjet to travel around the world. But you know, so money is not wrong. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. That if that lifestyle of always having the latest and the best and the pleasures of this world, then that's where it becomes wrong. So it's the love of money. Okay, how else is the world trying to get Christians to lower their standards? They're trying to get us to abide or to vote for a homosexual for president or lesbian, but we know the Bible says it's wrong, and it's still wrong. It hasn't changed. Even if culture thinks, you know, differently now than it did, the standards of God are still the same. And so we need to always, and people know in their conscience that it's not right. But they go against their conscience. They try to sear their conscience with a hot iron, right? All right. How else? How else? We're in Mark chapter 12, verse 13. We're looking at the Herodians and the Pharisees coming at Jesus. These were enemies against each other. They never sided with each other ever, because the Pharisees were very pro-Israel. The Herodians were pro-Roman Empire, and they never met. But now they're coming together. Why? Because they have a common enemy, and that is Jesus. They didn't like what he preached. And he said, so we're just talking about how the world often tries to influence us to lower our standards and to do things we shouldn't. All right, number two, we see verse 14, flattery is often a disguise for unkindness. Okay, flattery is often a disguise for unkindness. If someone is always flattering you, then they have a hidden agenda that you don't know about. Flattery is often a disguise. Okay, that if someone's always saying, oh, you're so great at this, you're so great at that, and you can do anything, and I just need you to do me a favor. Yeah, well, or I just need you to do this. You know, they're trying to butter you up to get you to do something that's probably not right. Okay, so we've got to watch out for that. Sure enough, they were buttering Jesus up. Of course, Jesus saw through their lies right away and their flattery. It says in Proverbs, it says, go not with him that speaketh flatteries, or that has smooth words. In Proverbs, it talks about flattery as a stay far away from the person that uses flattery, because they have a hidden agenda. There was someone in the church a while back that would always compliment me. Oh, you're doing such a great job. Oh, you're... And everything was always, you know, first thing was flattery. I'm like, what do they want? You know, what's going on? You know, and sure enough, the agenda came out that they wanted to control. And so we've got to be careful. If someone is flattering you, they might want to control you. They're trying to get you to do something perhaps that you shouldn't. Okay, so flattery, watch out for it. Verse, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Verse 14, verse 15, shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it, and he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And they marveled at him. So here, they wanted to catch him in his words. The Herodians that were pro-Roman Empire, the Pharisees that were pro-Israel, and they were both wanting Jesus to say something wrong. And Jesus said, he knowing their hypocrisy. See, Jesus knew what was in their hearts before they even said it. Why tempt ye me? See, the world will try to tempt us with flatteries. They'll say, oh, you're so good at this. Oh, will you just come with me to my house and show me better how you can do that? You know, and a young lady will bat her eyes at you, and she'll say, oh, you're so wonderful. Oh, you're so strong. And oh, you're so helpful. Come with me. And she'll try to lead you to her house. Yes. Sure. Too loud up there. Okay. All right. It's a little too loud on the volume of the wireless. Okay. All right. So I will take it off for now. Or why don't we just try lowering it for now? Because they're also recording through it. And I step away from the mic a lot. So let's just lower it a good bit. Okay. So anyway, so I apologize. Coming back to... So he said, why tempt ye me? So that's another way that just like the Proverbs 7 woman, let's go over there, or the Proverbs 1 man, okay, there's two types of people we should avoid, the Proverbs 7 woman or the Proverbs 1 man, which is a violent man, a licentious man, a man that's in gangs, a man that's in violence. Okay, and then there's the Proverbs 7 woman that will lead us to destruction, lead any man to destruction if they follow her. Proverbs 7, verse 7, Proverbs 7, 7, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. Number one, he was not in the right place at the right time. He's gone through the wrong part of town at the wrong time of night, the black and dark night, and there meets him a woman with the attire of an harlot. She's not dressed modestly, subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman is not at home. In other words, her husband. He has gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasted to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend unto the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Okay, so here, God warns us, there are women out there that are like that, that are going to try to take you down, take a young man down. There are a lot of men out there that are going to try to take a lady down. They're going to try to do it through smooth words, flatteries, through, oh, you're so strong, oh, you're so handsome, oh, you're so this. Pornography is a huge problem now more than ever with the availability on the internet. There are in the form of pornography, there's these ladies that want to take you down. Why? Well, the people behind them, people behind those ladies, they pay those ladies money to make those horrible pictures, horrible movies, and horrible things, and then they're to take down America. Pornography is never acceptable to God. Mark it down. It's never acceptable to God. It is a blight on our society, and it is the steps to hell. It's already taking millions and millions of young men and young ladies to hell, old men and old ladies to hell. Why should we have any part in it? It's taking the unsaved down to hell. We need to hate it. We need to say, hey, the Proverbs 7 woman is not going to do anything good for me. It's only going to mess up my mind. And we got to stay as far away from it as possible and be pure and live for God. Why? Because if we're not married, if we're single, that's okay. Marriage relationship is not the be-all, end-all relationship. Jesus said that, verse 18, then cometh unto him the Sadducees, which say, there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. Here they're trying to say, they're making up a fabricated story, a hypothetical situation about a woman who never had any children, and in the Mosaic law, if the husband died, then the brother to the husband was supposed to then marry her, etc., until she have she can have a child and have a name or a posterity. But here they brought up this hypothetical situation where they all had her as a wife at different times in her life, and they all died, and now she died too. So whose is she in heaven? Who's going to be married to her? Number one, look at who's asking. It's the Sadducees. What did the Sadducees believe? They were sad, you see, because they didn't believe there's a resurrection. They didn't believe in what they even asked in the first place. They were your skeptics, agnostics of the day. They didn't believe the Bible. They didn't believe they believed after you die, you just go in the ground and it's annihilation. So they didn't even believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in much of anything. They didn't believe in Jesus. And so now they're trying to stump Jesus with this predicament here, quote unquote. But here, look at Jesus' answer, verse 24. And Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err? because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. So he answers two very important questions for all of us as well. Number one, marriage is not the be-all, end-all relationship. That somehow, if you're not married, and if you don't, if you're not in a marriage relationship right now, you're somehow missing out. You know, no. There's many reasons why people are not married, and many reasons why people are single. But it is not the be-all, end-all relationship. Marriage is a earthly relationship that for a purpose, and that's to raise a family and to have kids, and it can be a wonderful relationship. However, it is not in heaven. It is not we are not married or given in marriage in heaven. So marriage is not the most important relationship in life. What is the most important relationship in life? Very good. Our relationship with Christ is the most important. Here are these Sadducees trying to say, all these things about this hypothetical situation, and Jesus reminded them, no, number one, in heaven, guess what? We aren't married and given in marriage. We are as the angels in heaven. That we'll know if we, our wife on earth, we'll know her, but we won't have married relationship with her anymore. It'll be as the angels in heaven. We will be enraptured with Jesus Christ and taken up by his glory and by all the wonderful things he has in store for us. And so if you aren't married, guess what? Or if you are married, it's our most important relationship is Christ. And then, of course, your spouse. But if you're not married, guess what? Serve the Lord. It is so important that we serve the Lord with our relationships and with whether we're married or single, that God wants us to be faithful to him. And then secondly, we see, they said, well, in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the resurrection, but they said it anyway, like they believed in it. Well, see, there can't be a resurrection, Jesus, because who's the husband of this woman in heaven? Come on. See, there can't be a resurrection, Jesus. And so they're trying to stump him. Well, here Jesus answered their second question with this. He said, I am that how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Notice here, I was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. See, if we thought as the Sadducees thought, we live, we die, and that's it. We don't have any soul, we just go into the ground, and it's over. Well, that's how the Sadducees says there is no resurrection. And they were very sad, you see, because of that. And they didn't believe in eternal life, and they didn't believe in Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And so they were sad. And so we see the truth. Jesus says, I am the God of Abraham. Abraham is still alive. Isaac is still alive. Jacob is still alive. Where are they right now? They're in heaven. They're in their eternal home up in heaven with the Lord. They are as much alive as when they were here on earth. And we have to remember that Jesus said, I am the God of the living, not of the dead. That unfortunately, those who die in their sins without Christ, they go down to hell, to burn forever in the lake of fire, in the lake of judgment and torment. And unfortunately, they are the ones who are the ones who are condemned. That's a terrible, terrible plight. But that's because they rejected the God of the living. They chose to go with their God that they made up in their own mind. So their lusts of their flesh, their sins, their own way, their own understanding. And as a result, they've gone the wrong way. Well, Jesus said, I am the God of Abraham and God of Isaac and of Jacob. He is the God of the living. Therefore, if you and I want to be living, and if we want to go on for all eternity with him, we need to trust Christ as Savior, number one. Number two, we need to tell others so that they can trust Christ as Savior. What a great thing this is, that Jesus says that we are going to rise, that we are going to keep on living just as Abraham. Abraham is talked about in Abraham's bosom. Jesus said that he talked to Lazarus. You know, Abraham didn't die. He was in paradise. He was helping in that realm of Sheol, that was the waiting place, paradise, before they went up to heaven. When Jesus died on the cross, he took them all out of Sheol up to heaven, out of Abraham's bosom up to heaven. And so before that, Abraham was kind of in charge of the paradise. So Abraham was as much alive and is as much alive now as he ever was. So here we see the only one sad in this account is the Pharisees, the Herodians, and the Sadducees, because they rejected Christ. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked them, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus said, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. So here we see, after these three groups that were just trying to trap Jesus, here we have one lawyer searching for the truth. One lawyer searching for God. One lawyer searching and close to trusting Christ as a Savior. Close to Christ's kingdom. We never know who is close at this moment. We never know who is close in our family, what God is doing behind the scenes to draw our family members unto himself. You know, whatever dealings he's doing behind the scenes, that we don't know what he's doing. But he could be drawing one of your family members, one of mine, to himself. And so we've got to be ready and give out the gospel to our family members and say, hey, you know what? Jesus loved you. And just go through the Romans road with them. Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, and 10:9. Go through that simple Romans road with your loved ones, and you can lead them to Christ. Just today at Atlantic Adult Day Center, met a man named Michael. Michael's new. He's a Catholic man, lives in Margate, and he said, you know, I'm just going through a lot right now. And he told me all the things he's going through health-wise, and just lonely. And I said, well, can I read some, after I listened to him for about 20 minutes, I said, well, do you mind if I read some verses to you to help cheer you up? He said, sure. So, you know, a lot of people, they just want to be heard. They just want you to listen to them. And so I listened to him, and then he gave me time to then talk to him about Jesus. And so I was able to take him through the Romans road, and he agreed with each point that he was a sinner. That he, you know, it says in Romans, I like to take them through not just Romans 3:23, but Romans 3:10-23, you know, or at least a few verses in there. Romans 3:10-23 talks about what? Our mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Our feet are swift to shed blood. Our all the things that people say, right? We all sin with our mouth. We sin with our feet, where we go. We sin with our eyes, what we look at. And so the Lord talks about all of that in Romans 3. To just go through some verses with your loved ones. Romans 3. And sure enough, they will see that they are sinners. Michael saw, hey, yeah, I've done that. Yeah, I've had cursing and bitterness in my mouth. Hey, yeah, I've looked at things I shouldn't. And then when you get to Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, he's like, yeah, I agree with that. And so he agreed with Romans 3:23 because he saw Romans 3:10-16 first. And he saw that. And then in Romans 6:23, he saw that for the wages of sin is death in the place called hell. And he said, oh, I don't want to go there, you know. And he agreed with that. And then we went to Romans 5:8. Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he said, yeah, I want that free gift. And then Romans 10:9 of calling upon the Lord, inviting him into his heart and confessing him with his mouth. And he said, yes, I want to do that. So you never know who's going through what. Well, here this lawyer, he wasn't like the rest. He was truly searching for God. They were all trying to corner Jesus and make him sin. This one lawyer was searching. So what is the point of this? Even if among people, we think in our family, or, you know, they've always scorned Christ in the past. Guess what? You never know when they're going to be ready and close to Christ's kingdom. When they're going to say, you know, tell me more about Jesus. Hey, you know, I've been thinking about it lately. And so Michael was ready, and he prayed right there, and he trusted Christ as Savior. Catholic man, now he's a saved man, you know. And of course, he wants to learn and grow. And so we want to help people, because you never know who is close to the kingdom of God. You never know who's very close and who is ready to come into God's kingdom. And then sometimes they get close, like King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But he said, what? He said, I wish that thou wert almost, but altogether. Paul said, such as myself. It's not enough to be almost a Christian. It's not enough to say, well, I'll think about that more tomorrow. No, you have to believe on the Lord. King Agrippa, sadly, if he didn't trust Christ later on in life, he is in hell because he almost trusted Christ. He was so close. And so let us give out the gospel this week. All right, let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to be reminded of these great truths, that the world is constantly trying to get us to lower our standards. We thank you that you give us your word so that we can keep our standards high and keep them grounded upon your word and its principles. Help us to love you with our whole hearts, Lord. Help us to help others to come to Christ as well. And help us to never lower our standards for anyone. Help us to teach people your word so they can raise their own standards. And help them to get saved so that they can have their own Christian principles in their own life. Lord, help those in public school, Lord, to keep their standards high. Help those in Christian school to keep their standards high. Help those in homeschool to keep their standards high, Lord. Help each one of us on our jobs and in our retirement years. Help us to keep our standards high for you, so that you can be pleased when we stand before you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, at this time, we already prayed. We already had our prayer time beforehand. So now we're just going to bring the young people in and have them present.
We are ready for you when you are.
For Saturday, yes. Yes, we have the Teen Spring Fest on Saturday and Kids Spring Fest, so if anyone can give us a hand, that would be much appreciated. We're going to have 50 elementary and teenagers here on Saturday. Rain or shine? Wellington wants to set up in here. I am. All right. Yes, 5th and 6th graders.